just had to get another drink just to get me through this.
You got a shot in here?
God, I wish I had.
Okay, so we're continuing with Trial of a Time Lord, The Mysterious Planet. We're going into episode 3 now. We're counting in.
Square yourself up.
Yes, prepare yourselves. Gird your loins in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, here we go. Halfway, almost to the finishing line.
Yes, we're halfway. Another,
halfway.
Through the Mysterious Planet Marathon.
Fuck.
Maybe we should have got sponsorship for this.
I didn't think this would be so hard, and I feel really bad because there are some good stuff in it.
I used to watch this quite regularly when I had the old VHS tin, mm-hmm. Those limited edition tins with a picture of the Doctor on the bottom. And mm-hmm. I think, like a lot of things I earned about then, I was making the switch over to DVDs and selling things that I didn't really use anymore for our wedding. So gives you a clue. I've been married like 21 years this year, so that's how long ago it was when I parted company with this. It's probably the last time I watched it in full away from streaming as well. It's strange coming back to it and watching it in this sense, and because you know there's a ceremony around cracking open a tin of videos and having a look at the inlay and unfolding the plastic packaging within the tin that holds the video cases in place. And I think they had card sleeves, which was quite unusual in those days because most videos came in a big plastic case. So, that whole ceremony around sort of getting the tape out and loading it up, and that, it all feels connected to watching it. And maybe that, it changes the context of how you enjoy it and everything. Yeah, I didn't mind it, but watching it now, and maybe, last time I watched this all the way through was before New Who, so there's other frames of reference there as well. But then again, there's other frames of reference from the classic series being represented in various ways. It just... We were talking, I think, when we were talking about the Daleks Master Plan, about missing episodes and which episodes would benefit from being missing. I think we're mm-hmm. watching a serial now that would perhaps benefit in that way.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think that's all really, really interesting. The only devil's advocate to it is that I've not had the need to crack open the video box, insert the thing, and get that sort of preemptive pleasure of watching it with any of the stuff we've watched. Well, this one, I think I really need it.
Yes.
So, but I do get your point, and I think, there is always the danger of sounding old man about it. But when you have anything where there is a trial to get to the thing you want to watch or to do, that thing becomes more special through the trial.
I
think there is definitely a factor to that. And I do look back with weirdly fond memories of, when would it have been, early 90s, sort of coming out of college and going down to HMV or WH Smith's and might have been buying a VHS cassette of a Doctor Who or a Blake 7 and then taking it home and then you sort of pulling it out, peeling off the sticker, taking off the cellophane around the videotape. There's a ritual which
there is
lost. But then at the same time, back then we would have probably cried for an opportunity to be able to just press play and watch any of them at any time.
Yes.
So,
yes.
It's a funny thing, that, isn't it? We always think of things like that from our position now. We never think about, in our position then, would we have gone, I am really pleased that I have to go buy, bring home, unwrap this fragile piece of plastic to watch a show in variable quality, compared to you guys in the future, you can just watch any of them on high definition, on high quality televisions whenever you want.
Yeah. You seem lost.
Not I. Although you seem to have mislaid your train, Val. Stealth. No, carry on. I'm finding this conversation far more interesting than this on my screen, which is just waffle.
Yeah. We've already seen an insanely timed interjection from the courtroom. You know, you get into the culmination of the cliffhanger and straight into space station IKEA theater courtroom land.
I mean, I'll give you this. It's making me rethink my issues with Dalek Master Plan. I'm kind of wishing I could go back now to my time back then and sort of go, hang on, you may be complaining about this, but wait till a couple of weeks later. Then you'll see the... Because, you know, at least the third episode of Master Plan is kind of different to some of the stuff which Doctor Who did at the time, I guess. You know,
Well, the thing about this, I think, is there... I'm going to struggle to remember what it is I'm referencing, but there's a kind of... There, I mean, and it's by Robert Holmes, so, you know, I think probably the best writer of Doctor Who consistently in the classic era, but this is very much by the numbers Doctor Who, isn't it? That you know, it's you've got the Doctor landing in a place, there's a mystery, there's some bad people, there's a group of people trying to escape oppression and a secret order of them escaping oppression, whatever, and need help from the external visiting an alien. It's all by the numbers Doctor Who.
But it probably isn't helped by, I imagine, John Nathan Turner saying that we need a big robot slash monster in there somewhere that's got to be a threat, which disrupts what Holmes would do. And to be fair, I think there's always that danger of, without any creative force, is assuming just because they're present, it's going to be good. Because, I mean, if you'd said this was done by, I don't know, John McAdrick, I would go, okay, yeah, I can tell this isn't very good. You know, sometimes you see the name and we start being overly kind to it. Mm. Where if we'd seen it by someone else, we wouldn't be as kind.
No,
think it's just for whatever reason, and as I think what you're acknowledging here, and I think is true, is we can't just assume it is. You know, these are actually, it wasn't you acknowledging, it was me. These are collaborative things. So even if Robert Holmes wrote it, we've got Soward as his script editor. We've got Nathan Turner, who was quite, he was not a step back producer. He was very much in the mix. So it's hard to say whose fault for why this went wrong. But I do feel it's not lived up to its potential. But then maybe it is Holmes. Because, I mean, I'm just thinking, if you try to pitch this, unless it went through so many permutations between what he actually initially suggested or what was agreed between him and Turner and Soward and what actually comes out, it's just... It feels...
Well, let us not forget the other season 23, because this is a kind of... I don't call it emergency because I don't know what the actual timescales were involved, but there was another season 23. And yes. Robert Holmes was down to write Yellow Fever and How to Cure It, which was the working title of a six part episode with which featured the Rani or the Master and the Autons and set in Singapore. So, and then presumably this is very different to that. And this is why this maybe feels a bit generic, because he's got a great story, it's been cancelled, so he goes back to some well-worn tropes, like cut scenes from other serials that haven't been used from the 70s, bits of Ribos Operation and Terror of the Autons or whatever, and pulls them together into creating this.
But the Lost episode itself, does that sound like something that would ever have been made?
Well, like, I don't think they'd have gone to Singapore.
And that concerns me.
Yes.
How that would have been represented might have aged badly. But
they might have gone to Malta or where was it they filmed the two doctors? That was Seville, wasn't it, I think, that area. So they may have gone to Spain.
But even then, Singapore is not an easy thing to...
No, you're right.
I mean, it could have been when it came to actually, if they'd actually were going ahead of that season, then Boris said, well, we can't do it in Singapore. I'm afraid it's going to have to be East London or... you know, a quarry pit on a planet, which is a bit like Singapore, but not Singapore. But even then, you've got Autons, Rani and Master, that's a big Nathan Turner.
I think it was
there.
Rani or Master, not
Rani
both.
Or Master.
Yeah, yeah. So we've established that they're on Earth.
Shocking.
Yes. It's the revelation. I mean, if you've been paying attention, and good luck to you.
Yeah.
Anyone watching has been paying attention. They've probably guessed that it's probably Earth.
Colin Baker being lifted up onto the robot in an undignified way. Look at that.
But the actual delivery of this actually being Earth, I know.
It's the way the robot is heading out, the exit back, and you just see his rump as he's being carried out. I can't tell whether that's comedy or whether that's just there's no other way of doing it.
It's definitely something. But as I was getting to, the actual revelation that it's actually Earth is ridiculously muted.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be, isn't it? It's.
And I think we're going to get an interjection at some point, aren't we?
Of course. Who can let this story try and find its pacing?
I'm surprised we haven't had it already, bearing in mind the Doctor's just found out he's on Earth.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, oh.
I mean, it's just, there we go. Yes, it is. It's just irrelevant and hypothetical. Listening to some half-incapacitated robot and a couple of diminutive neatwits who might as well be robots. You're allowing your disrespect to show again, Doctor. I'm sorry, Mom, but the question... And this is a weird interjection in itself, because it's an interjection which actually attacks the storytelling of the show. You know, it's not what you want when maybe people are already questioning that storytelling. It must be sheer conjecture. The accused is ignorant of the latest methods of surveillance, my lady. This evidence is... I suppose here there's a little bit of argument of how this is all being done being presented here, but I don't think audiences care.
No.
Or again, this could be a bookend. I'm sorry, Valiard, force of habit, I apologize. Doctor, the experience of third parties can also be monitored and accessed if needed, as long as they are within the collection range of a TARDIS.
There's waffles on the wall behind him.
Yeah. But my TARDIS is an old model. Are you telling me it's been bugged without... And this is absolutely, totally relevant, because it's been established over and over again. Having just watched Attack of the Cybermen, and there's a point in that way he realises he's been sent there by the Time Lords. There's a suggestion which, the Time Lords, if they know where you are, they can see what you're doing. That kind of has been implicit throughout. I don't think it needs to be disrupting the story. It feels like there is a need to disrupt the story to remind everyone this is a trial.
And so the story.
Yeah, and a story of a trial. And this is, being told retrospectively, and it just doesn't help anything. Oh, at least Colin is now in a position which looks a little less...
Yeah, now he looks like a damsel being rescued from a railway line.
I mean, this robot has to some degree, has the problem that the Candyman has, but he doesn't have the charm of the Candyman.
Mm.
He sort of sits, stands, wobbles and prevaricates through most of the story, but does nothing else. He has been sent to recover the secrets left by the sleepers. To do that, he has armed the outlaws. Therefore, his intention is to foment rebellion against my authority. But you're right, it does feel like a jigsaw of lots of bit of Holmes sort of things in a very conventional... I mean, these two here are sort of, again, the dialogue explicitly focusing on the two is something that Holmes likes. He likes to sort of pair people into... Are you following me? Like you, I'm looking for a lost man. It simply occurred to me that it might prove more productive if we searched as a team. I think the other problem this story has, and I know, again, as I said, we're just criticising, is there's no sense of living in the space. It's a lot of corridors
yeah.
and a lot of woods. And in fairness, the tribe do have a place where you feel they sort of live. But there is no real sense of where people are. They are just seem to always be in transit spaces in this story.
Well, it is a transit space, isn't it? It's literally a transit space.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
So,
fair point.
Presumably, there's a platform that they all live on.
But these civilizations, the underground stuff feels very just much like a corridor.
Yeah.
A few corridors in a space, and it just doesn't build.
And if you don't know it's underground, it could be a space station as well.
I think that's also the problem, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And especially if you come into part two and you see that, there's no sense of where this is.
Yeah.
No sort of. There probably needs to be some markers of rock or something in there to suggest, or more.
Or I'm not sure what the. Was it, oh, yeah, TFL logos. It is ours now. All the tools and metal. All the strange materials that bend and do not break. All the mysteries and treasures of our ancient forefathers. We're finding another space on the body to punch here. But going back to this whole thing about being Earth is because it's not. In the sense that there is nothing bar a tube station to really make you feel any connection to this place whatsoever. Mm.
So you need it underground to at least feel, or even the tribe place, to feel peppered with bits of civilization.
Yeah.
Peppered with bits of something to feel like, yeah, this is something we've lost. Because it doesn't feel like that. It feels like just another planet. You know, they could come across an old cottage or something, or I know the whole idea this is meant to be very far future and everything's meant to be the solar flares and everything, but there just needs to be something. And if that had to be underground just to justify it, then it needs to be there. You need to feel there's something here to fight for.
Yes.
And
yes, yes.
There isn't. Those multi-blasters
must work at least. Exactly. That is why I employ you to fetch and carry. A cut along. There's a good lad.
Do we know, was it ever, I think it was, it stated somewhere how far in the future this is. I think it's 10,000 years or something like that,
well,
isn't it?
Well, it's based around the Ark in space timeline, isn't it? Haven't they considered this?
Yes, I think it's been, yeah, I think, is that in, maybe in the Blue Book by A History, that one.
A History, yeah, but I think even in the show they
maybe
talk
before,
about,
yeah, maybe before
they that, talk about yeah. the evacuation of the Earth because of the solar bombardment or whatever, and so it's set.
Yeah, so which is a Robert Holmes script. So is that 10,000? That's 10,000 years, isn't it? The Ark in space. So you've got to. I mean, this is obviously post, you know, solar flares / moving
yes.
planet through space. The other thing, that brings us to how long does it take for a biome to recover from that? And maybe, yes, that is within the 10,000 years. Would that would it have any remains of any structures?
No.
Probably not, no. Aside from, you know, perhaps something that's been forged out of stone and is massive
yeah.
and is in Egypt, you know, other than things like that, then no, it's probably not going to. And there isn't anything in London that's like that.
Let's have a look at continuity. That is their intention. I do not understand the logic. We have not harmed them. It is a rebellion. What shall we do if they break in? Oh, so this, the Doctor dates the events of Ravelox at least 2 million years.
Okay.
After the 20th century. So you're out by around...
Quite a bit, yes.
Yeah, I think we could probably say you're out by about 2 million years.
Yes, close to
give
two,
or take.
Yeah, yeah.
I fear the worst. Yeah, it's. Mob station is back this way. It is forward. But I mean, we can get past that. I mean, and we're saying that. Yeah, that's fine. If it was a good story, we would let it go.
Yeah.
For some reason, some stuff is preserved, and I think. You need it to be preserved just so it can give you that connection that the audience needs. This way. How am I to be surrounded by fools?
This is just padding. And it's a bit unfortunate given that you've got interjections from the theatre.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, Doctor Who has to do this a lot, where it has to strip back a notion, and the stripped back notion here is that there is a whole army from a quite big tribe, rather than
12 Jones people.
Him and six people with a yeah. couple of other, yeah, like it's just it weakens it. Apparently, Joan Sims is said to have disliked her stint on the series.
I don't think she was particularly busy at that point in time, was she?
Doesn't mean she had to like it.
No, no.
Tony Selby described Glitz as Arthur Daly in space, which I think is a fair. I think he's a bit darker than Arthur, but yeah. Yes. I can see where he pulled that from. We was wrong about the doctor. He's bunked off. He hasn't bunked off. He's gone down there. What? Well, I saw him as I came up. He had Perry with him. So he... According to TARDIS fandom, Robert Holmes was in ill health when he wrote the script.
Right.
Then it says, Eric Soward thought he could write good dialogue. That all sounds very subjective, depending on whether that's aimed at Robert or Eric.
Mm.
Sounds like someone taking a swing there. So the argument here, position, is that Robert Holmes rehashed the plot from the first serial of the Crotons. Okay. Right. While the banter between Comyn was lifted from the Rebos operation. Well, yeah, as we've acknowledged, we can see where there's that running thread. The Crotons, I'm not quite seeing. I suppose I sort of see. Yeah, I guess.
Remainder of that evidence has been excised, my lady.
Excised? Why?
By order of the High Council.
This is a judicial inquiry appointed by the High Council, but independently conducted.
Right, so I did wonder. So, yeah, the location on the surface is the Buster Ancient Farm Project, also known as Butser.
Right.
At Buster Hill in Hampshire. So it's already a set.
Yeah,
space.
I thought it might be. Yeah.
Well, I figured, it had to be, but I wasn't sure. I never seen where. So that's vaguely interesting.
Used to lodge an official objection at this stage, Doctor.
Well, I think the other problem here as well is it feels to me like the interjections are becoming less and less meaningful as they're having less and less reasons to interject.
Mm.
And that's not helping either. They seem to have got away with everything. They've got through everything they needed to say.
And they didn't... I mean, the previous scene, there was no... You could have done without Glitch saying what he said and that being censored and then cutting to the trial. It wasn't necessary at that stage.
I mean, this is the other problem with the Trial of the Time Lord is that you also have this notion of unreliable narration, which is going on throughout it.
Yeah.
You know, what we're seeing, is it accurate? And I think that can be dangerous for the audience to really start feeling invested in what they're seeing.
Yes.
Am I seeing anything that really matters, or is this just...
that whole notion of that has a valid artistic purpose, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. the framework here doesn't support it.
Yeah.
So, end of part three. And part three cliffhanger is usually quite good. And that's not a bad cliffhanger, as this four-parter goes, at least.
Maybe. I mean, I'd be sort of glad to know that I'd have a week now to not have to watch it before having to watch it again. Have a bit of a breather.
Well, don't forget as well, as we close episode three, that each episode opened with a photo... captioned recap narrated by the day's BBC narrator.